Strengthen our Redeemer. Amen. Well, thanks very much for the invitation to be here. Always good. I feel like I come home when I come to St. Andrew's, so that's great for me. You might like to keep Ephesians 6 open in front of you, page 828 in the Bibles in the pews. If you were at the event last night, you'll know that clergy jokes got a bit of a battering. So here goes anyway. A man regularly went into his local pub, went up to the bar and always ordered 2 pints of beer, went down and sat at a table on his own, drank one and then proceeded to drink the other. After this happening for several weeks, the barman was a little curious and asked him why he always ordered 2 pints of beer. Oh, and he said, yeah, and I must tell you, it's a very touching story. He said, I had this very good friend. We always used to come here and have a drink together, but he emigrated to Australia. And as he left, he said to me, whenever you come here for a drink, have one for me as well, will you? So that's why I do it. And the barman said, oh, you know, that's a lovely story. And so it happened for several more weeks. And then on one occasion, the man came in and ordered just 1 pint and sat down and drank it by himself. And the barman was a little curious. He went over and he said, I see you drinking 1 pint on your own. I'm really sorry. Has your friend passed away? And the man responded, oh, no, no, it's nothing like that at all. I've just given up alcohol for Lent. Well, Lent is particularly supposed to be a time when we do battle with the flesh. And some of you have made some resolves, perhaps, during this period. We give things up. And the tradition of Lent is not just supposed to be that we become a little more trim or save a bit of money, but actually we use this as a spiritual discipline to get close to the Lord and to do battle. But in Ephesians chapter 6 here, we need to remember that the life, Christian life as a whole, is described frequently in the Bible as warfare. One of the difficulties that you and I have is that we put the Christian life in the category of leisure. So our church attendance, or our meeting up with other believers, or the things that we used to call our spiritual disciplines, wax and wane according to our enthusiasm, or maybe they get bumped off of our diary if other things crowd out. But actually, the Bible never puts the Christian life in the category of leisure. It's rather in the category of war. We will always be on duty. We're accountable to our commanding officer. We won't be surprised when times are hard, and we won't give up until the battle is won. And I think most of us need a major mindset shift to ensure that we think of the Christian life in those categories. Conversations with Mum and Dad over recent years has been very much focused on just bearing in mind that the generation that can remember the last world war is getting towards the end of their time. And it won't be very long before there won't be people around for whom the last major world war is a living memory. And of course, for those who lived through the occupation here in Jersey, the hardships, the sacrifices that were made, and the memory that they were a small part of something that was much bigger, of which they were getting caught up in. That mindset gives a degree of solidity, I think, to one's thinking about the role of evil in the world and the need to fight. But I became a Christian in my late teens, and there were 4 books that were very influential upon me as a new Christian. Some of them you might well know. I read C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters, a book probably you're all familiar with. And in that famous account, it came across very clearly to me that I could expect to be involved with conflict with a wicked devil who wants to trip me up in my walk with the Lord. I read John White's book called The Fight. Don't know whether anybody else has read that one. And again, just the title alone reminded me that I'd been enlisted into warfare at some manner or other. Perhaps the two other books that were slightly denser, I found harder to read, and it was mostly because I sat exams on them that I read them, was John Owen, the 17th century former Chancellor of the University of Oxford, in fact, but a great Puritan writer and preacher. And he wrote a book called On Mortification, really based on the idea that you put to death the flesh with the help of God. And then finally, I also read William Gurnall, or read some of it, I have to say. It's a very long book, called The Christian in Complete Armour, which in fact is a 1,500-page exposition of these 10 verses of the Bible. The Puritans like to do things in depth. But the conclusion that I reached from reading those four books, and it was quite clear in my early discipleship, was that the Christian life is a fight, it's a battle. And as Paul says here in chapter 6, I need to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and to put on the full armour of God. Now, as William Gurnall has already illustrated for us, there is a lot that could be said about this passage, and time is short. Not exactly sure how long I've got. I've had various ranges of minutes that I've been given, so I'm largely going to ignore that, but I will preach until I see the whites of your eyes. The first thing that I would like you to see clearly from this passage is that this means war. Yes, there is lots of evil in this world, which is the fault of human beings. There are wars, there's poverty, there's all kinds of injustices as a result of humanity's ill to other human beings. You've probably heard the story about the national newspaper many years back that was running a series of columns under the question, what's wrong with the world? And that a number of letters had been written in to the paper with various solutions. Perhaps the most memorable of which came from the pen of the wit and writer G.K. Chesterton, in which he wrote, "Dear Sir, regarding your article, What's Wrong with the World? I am yours truly, G.K. Chesterton." So human beings are a real problem. I know that I can be a real problem to myself, as I'm sure you can be to yourself. I battle with my weak will, my fallen desires, and my proud heart. But actually, it is not enough to fix all the human beings in the world if ever we could. Because behind the evil in the world lies a roaring lion seeking for one to devour, is how Peter puts it in 1 Peter 5. He's a vicious foe, and we need the armour of God and God's power to withstand the onslaught. And I think the first thing that we should really remember from Ephesians 6 is that this shouldn't be a surprise to us. Why I've got into this topic myself is because I don't really hear a lot of sermons that talk about the Christian life as a battle. I hear a lot of sermons that talk about the encouragement that we can have by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the need to be a loving Christian family one to another and to reach the lost world, all of which are wonderful biblical themes. But it was drilled into my head as a new Christian and reinforced by reading those four books that it will be a battle It is one which Christ has won on our behalf, but nevertheless, becoming a Christian is being enlisted into the Lord's army, and I can expect it to be a fight until my dying breath. And I think that's important that we remember that, because it'll mean that we won't be complacent about whether we think we've ever arrived as a Christian and no longer need to try or to battle anymore, either with our flesh or the world or the devil. But it also reminds us that we look forward to the coming victorious king, in which he finishes off this mopping up operation and will one day come back in triumphant victory. So that's my first point. Don't be surprised by the battle and don't give up the fight, because you're at war. The second thing I want you to notice, and there's a lot more that can be said about this passage, that's very obvious, but I really want you to notice that your prime weapon is prayer. To be forewarned in some way is to be forearmed. And the main way in which you are armed in the battle is prayer. Now, yes, maybe invite me another day and we'll go through the armor piece by piece, because that's a very rich way to understand. But I think the overall tone of what we see here is that we are to be what we sometimes call prayer warriors. Notice the way it's referred to in this passage. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Our struggle is not against human beings, but actually against the evil forces of the spiritual realm. The primary offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we see Jesus wielding the sword of the Spirit in the temptations in the wilderness. Did God not say? To which Jesus responds by quoting Scripture. And Paul can celebrate in Romans 16, verse 19, that the gospel of peace will crush Satan beneath our feet. And all of those things are true. But the main way in which we both put on the armor and in which we find victory in the Christian life is prayer. Look a bit further down the page at verses 18 and onwards. Verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So prayer is mentioned quite a bit there, isn't it, in those verses? Paul says, pray in the Spirit. This is a spiritual activity. Pray on all occasions. Pray all kinds of prayers and requests. There's a specificity to our prayer. Paul says, pray for me that. He's asking specifically for boldness, that whenever he opens his mouth, he might declare the gospel. And so in our petition, we make specific requests, and it's good to pray specifically. But there's also prayer in the Spirit. Prayer is a general activity. Another book that I found quite helpful to me, and again, this might be familiar to some of you, is by O'Hallersby on prayer. It's a classic, Christian classic. And the thing that was most challenging to me about that book is that he took the verse Revelation 3:20, where you have the words of Jesus to the church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will open the door and come in with him and eat with him and he with me." And that's a word that's actually first addressed to Christians. To Christians, in fact, who are in danger of shutting Jesus out. And Jesus says to the individuals and the church, "If you hear my voice, open the door, and I will come in and I will share table fellowship with you," as it were. And in his book on prayer, O'Hallersby makes the point that actually much of our general prayer is opening the heart's door, as it were, to say, "Jesus, please be with me, fellowship with me. Let me walk and live in a way that you are constantly my reference point, that the whole of life is an open book, as it were, in your presence. Please come in." Because I don't always know what to pray in petition. I do need to ask specifics. But sometimes in my prayer, as I pray in the Spirit, as Paul puts it, I'm saying, "Lord, I lay my life before you. Please take it and use it so that I might be useful for you." It's a reflex reaction to open the heart's door and let Jesus in. And actually, that makes a bit of sense of some of the other verses about prayer that I find quite difficult, because they seem to imply that I will never do anything other than pray, which I don't know about you, but I find that a little bit challenging to my prayer life. In Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul says, "Devote yourself to prayers." Devote yourself. That's strong language, isn't it? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." That's quite a lot of prayer. And I find the challenge of this passage for me is, do I pray in petition, specifically as Paul encourages, not least that whenever I open my mouth, I may fearlessly proclaim the Lord Jesus? So there's some very specific requests, and we should share requests with one another. But do I also pray without ceasing, continuously, devoting myself to it, constantly opening my heart's door so I ask the Lord to be involved in all the details of my life every day, constantly in communion with him? And I think Paul said something about both of those. And I said to you that this sermon's a really fairly simple sermon. Point number one, you've been enlisted into an army and there's a war on. Point number two, the primary offensive weapon is prayer, by which we put on, in a sense, the whole armour of God. And like many sermons that are fairly simple, the issue, generally speaking, is not in the understanding, although I apologise if there is any confusion in my speaking. The issue is more in what it is encouraging me to do as a lifestyle, to make prayer my reflex reaction in God's direction. You may have seen on the news this past week or so, there's a headmaster in a junior school in England who has written to all of his parents to say, "Please do not turn up at the school gates dropping off your children in your pyjamas." Did you see that story? So-called pyjama gate. And this headmistress has got a bit of flack for it, but I actually have a lot of sympathy with what she's saying. I do take the point that my kids wear clothes that look rather like pyjamas to me. That's a different issue. I think these were people who were generally putting a coat on quickly and going to the school gates in their pyjamas. And the headmistress was saying, what sort of a model are you giving to your children about, you know, your readiness for the day and getting ready at school drop-off? Well, fine, wouldn't go to the stake over it. But I definitely think that Paul would say to us, don't get caught napping, don't get caught off guard, don't go out to work in your pyjamas, metaphorically. Well, actually, probably and literally as well. Don't you know there's a war on? And you and I need to get ready for battle. And if you take nothing away from Ephesians 6 other than this, ask God to give you that instinctive reflex reaction to pray in all occasions so that when you go into battle, you will be forearmed in the power of the Spirit. Let's just pray together. Gracious God, these are simple yet very challenging words for us. We pray that the reality of the life that you've enlisted us into would sink in, that we would cry to you to strengthen us and equip us as your soldiers and servants. And Lord, for this generation that seeks to serve you, may we do so faithfully and armed with all of the armour of God that you've provided. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.